the more time you can give yourself to adjust, the better. But you might not always have that option. In some cases, it's going to be grin and bear it.
Episode 589 of Diz Runs Radio is a quick tip episode. Today's quick tip: rental car insurance, traveling after a race, and a whole lot more. Hey guys, so today we are welcoming back for the last time, for the fifth week in a row, the fifth quick tip, we're welcoming back Tom Letty and Carol Valls, two folks that have done a lot of traveling in their day. Carol, of course, is a travel agent. She's the co-owner at 2LTravel.com. So if you ever need some advice, some help in planning your next destination race or things of that nature, definitely head over to 2LTravel.com and Carol will hook you right up with the best possible deals and the best accommodations that you can get. And as we've talked to Tom before, and Tom was a guest back a couple hundred episodes ago, actually a few hundred. I think he was episode 297, if memory serves. But Tom is no stranger at traveling for races. So the two have teamed up, as we've talked about before, and have written the book, The Ultimate Travel Guide for Runners, available on Amazon and Kindle. And they're on to share some of the best tips from the book and from their experience as well. And so far, in the last 4 weeks, we've talked about a variety of topics. We've talked about saving money on flights and on hotels. We've talked about eating well when you get to your destination race and making sure that you don't have any dietary issues, gut issues associated with not having your normal fare of food that you have when you're at home. Talked about jet lag and how to account for that when traveling for a race. We've talked about travel insurance and is it worth it or not. And today we're kind of filling in the gaps, covering a few miscellaneous topics of things that we haven't touched on yet, such as rental car insurance, post-race travel, and a few other things as well. So hopefully you'll find this episode as useful as the rest of them. But before we get into that, I do want to take a quick second and thank the newest patron of the show, Mr. Jason Gingrich. Jason has jumped on board and bought me the proverbial couple cups of coffee a month. Very generous with his donation. Very much appreciated, Jason. And as I've said before, obviously kind of tongue in cheek, buy me a cup of coffee each month. But that's really, it really does make a difference. And the more folks that continue to jump on board and support the show, the more this is a big part of my job. Between this and the coaching, that's where I make my income. So, there's a few sponsors here and there, but ideally, if I can be so bold, I would love to get to the point where the show is so listener supported that I don't need to worry about sponsors, that I don't need to try to attract them. I don't need to, take them on and really can just make this a listener supported type of NPR type of thing. Now we're not there yet. Every person that jumps on board, every patron that supports the show, that buys me that cup of coffee, helps to keep the lights on, helps to keep the show growing, helps to maybe get to the point where I can do some more in-person interviews, which I feel like those are always a little bit different, a little bit better, because there's that personal interaction. So I'll be able to upgrade some equipment and do some of that type of thing. That's the next thing on the list with the support from the patrons. And so if you would like to be a part of the continued growth and evolution of the show, certainly no plans on slowing down. But if you'd like to be a part of that financially, patreon.com, patreon.com/dizruns. We'll take you to the page. You can pledge $1, $5, $10, whatever you're up for, whatever you can afford, whatever fits in your budget, whatever you think the show is worth. And that'll come out of your account each month. You can cancel any time. You can adjust your pledge at any time. And there's a few bonuses on there. And that page is going to get a makeover here pretty soon. Changing up some of the bonuses a bit, but not taking much away, but adding a few things as well. There's a Facebook group. We do a couple of calls each month where you can get your coaching questions answered, things like that. So there's some options there, some ways that you can support the show, and hopefully there's some value in me going above and beyond just providing the show as well. So if you're up for that, patreon.com/dizruns. And now let's go ahead and invite Carol and Tom back on the show, and we'll wrap up this series that we've done over the last several weeks about trying to help you be better prepared and better able and have just a better experience when it comes to traveling for a race. All right, guys. So we got Tom and Carol back for one more round of kind of some things to consider and make sure that we're aware of as it relates to traveling to a race, a racecation, a destination race, traveling to try to set a BQ on a course that's known for its BQ ability. So you're traveling there to try to set the odds in your favor. And in the last several weeks, we've talked about a bunch of things that are important and things that you want to keep in mind. And today's kind of, as we're wrapping up this five-part series, kind of plugging some gaps, plugging some holes, kind of some random topics that weren't enough to necessarily get their own episode, but definitely some things that you might want to consider and keep in mind. So the first one is something that we haven't talked about yet, but depending on where you're traveling to and what the race is going to look like, and what the vacation that may or may not be going with it is going to look like, is the rental car. If we have to travel somewhere to get a car, you know, what can we look for as far as maybe trying to save money on the car, or to maybe upgrade, or, you know, another one, you know, we talked about travel insurance last week, but today, you know, rental car insurance, is that worth it? Is that one that, that we should get, or, you know, are we already covered from our, you know, existing insurance or car insurance, driver insurance policy? So, Carolyn, Tom, let's start off this, kind of miscellaneous slash, you know, filling in the gaps episode with, rental cars. What kind of things should we keep in mind if, we decide, or we need one way or the other to get a rental car when we're on our way to a race and a vacation that way?
So rental car insurance, I can tell you that, yeah, travel insurance we talked about was, you know, is definitely something that you're going to want to do, especially if you're traveling, you know, overseas. Rental car insurance is probably the opposite of that, where you almost never need it, because more than likely, not only are you covered with your regular standard insurance policy, probably the credit card that you use to book the rental car with in the first place has a provision in it that will cover, you know, any rental car damage or whatever. So I would say that the only one time that I will say you can use rental car insurance is if you're going to use it as a negotiating tactic. And Carol can probably tell you a little bit more about this. So the rental car agents, you know, they get paid by how many things they can upsell you.
So,
and sometimes what you can do is, you know, yeah, fine, I'll take the insurance, but I want, you know, a better car, or I want you to cover my fuel or something like that. And, you know, you could use it for that, but I would never, almost 99% of the time, you don't actually just need rental car insurance.
Because even if you arrive with a prepaid voucher, all of my clients arrive with a prepaid voucher and they say, oh, this insurance not cover, or this, but all the insurance that you're actually going to need, it's included. So it's much easier to just say no and
move right along. Save your dollars. Yeah. Funny story on rental car insurance, real quick. A couple of years ago, I flew out to Kansas City. Actually, I was running a race too, but the real purpose of the trip was my wife's best friend was getting married. And she had gone several days earlier to help with the wedding, and I had gone the day before the wedding or whatever. And get to the airport, get to the rental car counter, and going through, and she's asking me, the lady was asking me all the questions. Do you want the insurance? I said no, ma'am. And after we got done, she was like, good idea, because the rental car insurance is a scam. So even the lady at the working the rental car counter was willing to tell me that it's probably not the right thing to do. So there you go. You've heard it from all the sources to not get rental car insurance in most cases. All right. So shifting gears a little bit and kind of topic two for today. When it comes to traveling, and we talked a lot about some ways to save money on travel and trying to be flexible, a few weeks ago on the dates that you're flying. But, you know, if we're going to be honest, you know, we all have lives, we all have jobs and family obligations and things like that, and we can't necessarily always take, you know, 6 days or 5 days to have the most flexibility on when we're traveling to run a race, especially if that's basically the whole purpose of the trip is to run the race. We can't always take 4, 5, 6 days out of it. So if we have to travel either like the day before, or especially maybe the day after you've run a long race, your legs are tired, you're worried about maybe cramping, things like that. Are there any tips that you have, Tom, from your experience, or Carolyn, and your experience as working with runners and being a runner yourself and doing some traveling, that we should kind of maybe keep in mind when it comes to, traveling maybe the day before, but especially the day after, or maybe even the day of? I've done that before, where I run a race in the morning and fly out that night. Are there things that we can do to try to make that as comfortable of a trip, whether we're on the plane or in the car, as possible?
That's going to come down to, there's a couple of things you can do. One of them is one of the topics we had actually talked about earlier with making sure you're eating right. So, you're going to feel a lot better if you're not, traveling for a race and then going out to a fast food restaurant and ordering a double cheeseburger. But other than that, you know, hydrating and making sure that you're drinking a lot of water, you know, the same way you would leading up to a race, and maybe even a little bit more than you typically would, because you're going to be traveling, you're going to be in a plane, and you're going to get dehydrated that way. And The other thing is, invest in a good pair of compression socks and wear those on the plane as well. When you, if you think about, if you've ever been on an airplane and you've had a bottle of water on the plane and the plane goes up to altitude and then comes back down and you notice the bottle of water is like kind of like crushed, like impacted. Mm-hmm. That's actually what's happening to your veins while you're flying too. So, a good pair of compression gear will actually help, help prevent that if you wear them while you're flying.
Yeah. Even if you're not only for race, it helps.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a whole host of things there as far as the compression goes. What about, and maybe this is a little bit easier if you're on a car trip than a plane trip, but I guess you could do it in the plane too, but getting up and walking and moving a little bit. So maybe stopping the car at every couple rest stops and getting out and walking, for a couple minutes or walking up and down the aisle of a plane. I feel like logically that should help. Yeah. But in your experience, is that something that's helpful too?
Yeah, it does. And like you said, it can be harder to do that on an airplane, but it definitely, if you can, and if there's not, a lot of turbulence where they're making you sit down, it's obviously helpful. And if you're, especially if you're doing an international flight, those planes do tend to be a little bit larger than some of the planes that they use for domestic flights. So it is a little bit easier to get up and stretch your legs and walk around, but you don't want to, and I think this is even in general, whether you're doing a race or not, you don't want to just sit in one place all day without really moving around anyway. So I think that's probably just general good advice.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. A little bit of movement, it goes a long way, and we're definitely something that we're designed to do. So as we're getting to kind of wrapping this last segment up of the travel series that we've got going on, one other question that I've gotten, and I've tried to give advice before, but I certainly don't have the travel chops of either of you two. So I would love to get your much more expert advice and opinion on it. What about when we're traveling for a race, and the location that we're training is going to be markedly different than the location that we're racing? So one thought that comes to mind, obviously everybody that listens to the show knows that I live in Central Florida, not too far from Disney World, and it's a big destination race hub. Obviously, people come to Disney World as a vacation. They come and run one of the Disney races and then stick around for vacation or do vacation first and run the races. But say you're training for one of the races that maybe Marathon Weekend. It's in January. Princess Half Marathon Weekend is in February, and you live in Buffalo or you live in Chicago where you live, Tom, or anywhere where it's cold, snow. Nothing like it's probably going to be down here where it could be 70, 75, maybe even 80 degrees and much warmer, or maybe you're coming from where I am, sea level basically, and traveling to a race that's up in the mountains somewhere and dealing with altitude. When you're dealing with those types of situations, is it something where you just kind of have to grin and bear it and recognize that it's going to be different than what you're used to? Or are there ways that you can kind of try to prepare yourself physically, prepare yourself mentally, prepare yourself just from a traveling standpoint of making sure you have the right gear? How do you guys go about, preparing for something where you're traveling to a location that's dramatically different than the area, as far as weather, environment, things like that, than what you're used to?
I think it's a combination of things. One of them is, we've talked about this a little bit with like the time zone differences and trying to get there a few days early if you have that option. It's hard to really prepare for some of these things. Like altitude is a big one for me because, I did a race in Aspen, Colorado, not too long ago that was, 10,000 feet elevation, and, Chicago's at sea level. Mm-hmm. You could buy the masks that restrict the oxygen you take in while you're running, and that kind of helps. But, the problem is you're only wearing those while you're running. And then when you actually go to the place, it's like that all the time. And so you're going to be tired just from walking around. The more time you can give yourself to adjust, the better. But, you might not always have that option. In some cases, it's going to be grin and bear it. And, you just realize that if your conditions are that much different, maybe you're not going to get a PR in that particular race. Or, and the other thing is make sure that you really know what the conditions are like ahead of time. If you have to buy, if you're not, if you live in Central Florida, I'm guessing that, you don't have a lot of long sleeve running gear, right?
No.
But you might need that if you're going the opposite way and doing a race in Buffalo, New York, and it's in, you know, April or something. You know, make sure you know what the conditions are going to be like when you so that you're prepared with whatever gear you need, and try to work out in that gear if you can. You know, if you can find, you know, something indoors with where you can adjust the climate, maybe, or you know, something along that. I know a friend of mine who did the Badwater Marathon, where you run through Death Valley Desert, and literally put a treadmill inside of a sauna and ran on the treadmill with the temperature, and that was how he trained for it. And, you know, did it help? Yeah, I mean, it's still only going to help so much, because you're never going to replicate the conditions exactly. But, you know, anything you can do like that would be helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as if running on a treadmill wouldn't be bad enough, put it in a sauna and oy vey. No, thank you. But well, good. I think those are some great tips. And before we wrap up, I just want to open the floor to both of you once again. If there's anything else that over the course of these last several weeks of episodes that we haven't touched on that you'd like to mention. Obviously, you know, we're going to continue to talk about the book. And again, for everybody, the title is The Ultimate Travel Guide for Runners. It's available on Amazon, Kindle and paperback versions, both available. Tom and Carol, before we wrap things up for this last episode, obviously thank you for taking the time and certainly appreciate your knowledge and your wisdom. Anything last little bits of tips, tricks, advice that we can leave people with before we wrap up for today?
I think the biggest thing is probably two things. You know, number one is check out the, if you check out the book, there's a list of helpful websites. One of, obviously, 2L Travel being one of them, but there's, a number of others for different, different type of experiences you can have while you're traveling. And then also a list of really good destination races.
Great. And Carol, anything that you want to add before we wrap up today?
Well, I think the best one is always to talk to someone about your travel plans, because if someone comes to me and say, oh, I'm planning a trip to Chicago because I'm running the marathon, so I'll be able in advance to help them, like I'll get cheapest hotel, even the flights, I can get cheapest flight than what you can find online, and like a city tour, I always... like it's like a bonus when you book a hotel with us. It's like always a bonus for the like a city tour. And don't try to do everything alone,
Right, right. Well, and it's I think that's a great thing to kind of wrap up on. And like we talked about earlier in this series, that it doesn't cost much extra, if any extra at all, because you're getting commissions from the places that we're booking, that you're booking your clients to. So it's that's how you're getting paid. And it's not something that necessarily in most cases that the person is going to be an extra expense. So why not rely on the pro and let Carol do what she does best. And it's going to make your life that much easier when it comes to booking your travel and all those type of arrangements as well. So that's where I think we're going to go ahead and put a bow on this thing for today. Thank you again to Tom. Thank you to Carol for just all the thoughts, all the advice, all the wisdom that they shared. Can't recommend the book strongly enough, especially if you know you've got a racecation coming up, something that you're planning for, traveling to, The Ultimate Travel Guide for Runners. Find it on an Amazon near you. There's a link in the show notes for this episode, and actually all the Quick Tip episodes that they've been featured on in the last month have all been there. And today's show notes for this episode, disruns.com/589. You can grab yourself a copy. It's a short read, easy read, but packed with value, packed with tips that are going to save you money, save you stress, save you time, answer your questions, all that kind of good stuff. So if you're like me and you're kind of a novice when it comes to traveling for a race, you will definitely want to grab that copy of The Ultimate Travel Guide for Runners. So with that, thank you guys once again for listening. Thanks for the time and attention. I hope that this series was helpful. And as I've said before, I would love to hear your thoughts on it. Was this something that was useful? Bringing on some other folks for the quick tips and kind of doing some mini interviews and trying to answer some questions from somebody who knows some things more than I do, certainly about this topic. And there's plenty of topics out there where folks know a whole lot more than I do. So maybe this is something that we'll do in the again in the future, And if you don't like it, then let me know, and we'll kind of switch back to the normal format. Although I don't think that the solo quick tips aren't necessarily going anywhere. But you know, if you like this, maybe we'll mix in a few of these along the way. But anyway, as always, your thought, your feedbacks, your takeaways are always appreciated at DizRuns on the Twitter, DizRuns@gmail.com. If you want to shoot me an email, and of course, you can always leave comments and feedback on the website in the show notes for each episode, DizRuns.com/589. We'll get you there for today. And with that, we'll go ahead and wrap this thing up now officially. Patreon.com/DizRuns if you want to support the show financially. And if not, there's a whole... No worries. No worries at all. If it doesn't fit in the budget, totally understand. But there is a whole host of other options available at DizRuns.com/support. Another page on the website that needs a makeover. Goodness gracious. Don't have enough time to do it all, but always trying. Always trying to take one step at a time, continue to improve incrementally as we go. But until next time, thank you guys once again. Thanks for all you do to support the show, to share the show, to tell others about the show. And most importantly, just to listen. Just to listen to me get on the microphone and ramble and talk to other cool people and try to share a little bit of wisdom along the way. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Until next time, please be well. Take good care. Have a great run. Whenever the next run is on your calendar, be well out there. Be safe. Have fun. And we'll talk soon. See ya.